Romans 8, 12 and 14. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? He said, if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. The responsibility is on us. It's true that we must put those deeds to death through the Spirit. Right? Paul is not asking us to try and put the deeds of the body to death in our own human strength. We have to have the Lord's help. But the responsibility still lies on us to do it. We must mortify the deeds of the body. Paul didn't say that as long as we keep believing we're justified by faith, God will put those deeds to death for us. He told us to put the deeds to death with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now those who accept the false doctrine Mr. Lumbly is preaching, they're going to turn a deaf ear to this command. They're going to choose instead to simply believe that someday God will put those deeds to death for them, as long as they keep believing he will. And in so doing, they are choosing to walk in rebellion. They're choosing to walk in rebellion. The same is true for all the other things the Scripture says we are responsible to do. When people refuse to do them, and they choose instead to listen to wait in faith for God to do them for them, they're walking in open rebellion against God. When God commands us to strive against sin, and we choose to listen to deluded Bible teachers who say striving against sin is self-righteousness, striving against sin is will worship, striving against sin is legalism. When you listen to that garbage, you're walking in rebellion against God. When the Scripture exhorts us to do things, those things which are pleasing to God, but we choose to listen to false teachers who say all our attempts to do things to please God are just attempts to justify ourselves, we walk in open rebellion. These people are leading people into rebellion, and God is turning the rebellious over to the spirit of Antichrist this hour. This is no joke. Now listen to what the Bible, the Scripture, not these false teachers, but the Scripture says about pleasing the Lord, okay? 1 Corinthians 7:32. Paul says, but I would have you without carefulness, that he that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how please the Lord. See? The one that's unmarried careth for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Ephesians 5, 8-10. This is the NIV version. Paul says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. Colossians 1, 9-10, and 3-20. And these are two different versions. The first, Colossians 1, 9-10 is the New American Standard, and Colossians 3:20 is the King James Version. I just put them together because they're real close. It says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. To please him in all respects. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Because there's God's telling you something you can do to please him. Obey your parents. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. He says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received us, how you ought to walk and please God. How you ought to walk and please God, so you would abound more and more. Okay, if you please God, you abound more and more. There's a reward for pleasing God. 2 Timothy 2:4. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen to be a soldier, that he may please him. 1 John 3:22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's a nice one, see? John didn't say there, we're going to receive what we ask of God as long as we just keep believing we're justified by faith and don't actually ever try to do anything like go to church or tithe in order to please God. That's not what John said. He said we receive the things we ask because we what? Keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Okay? The Apostle Paul said we're soldiers of Christ, and as the Lord's soldiers, we're not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life so that we can please God, okay? Keeping ourselves from being entangled in the affairs of this life is our responsibility, not God's responsibility. It's ours. And it's something we must do. It's not something you can believe. He also told us to find out what pleases God. Find out what pleases God. He didn't just say, brethren, just keep believing that God will cause you to please him as you walk by faith. Yeah, that's it. Just keep believing that God will cause you to please him as you just keep walking by faith. Don't try to do anything. He said, find out what pleases God. He put the responsibility squarely on our shoulders. Now, as I said earlier, you can't lump believers and unbelievers together and say they're both in the same spiritual position before God regarding their works, or that their motives for trying to please God are identical. That's religious insanity, people. Religious insanity. There's a big difference between an unsaved person trying to please God and a Christian trying to please God. The unsaved person tries to please God in order to be justified. The Christian tries to please God because he's a child of God. And a child of God naturally wants to please his Father. You know, really, the desire to please God is put there by God himself. That desire is coming from our new man. It's holy and righteous. And it's also scriptural. The scripture exhorts us, commands us to try and please God, to seek to please God. All right? Now I ask you, what kind of spirit tells people that when they seek to please God, do something to please God, whether it's going to church, tithing, obeying external commandments or exhortations of the scripture, obeying some kind of standard a local congregation has established, or obeying what they feel to be the voice of God, the guidance of the Holy Spirit? What kind of spirit would tell them that when they try to do those things, they're trying to be saved by works? They're trying to justify themselves. I'll tell you what kind of spirit it is. It's a spirit of Antichrist. And that spirit wants us all to walk in open rebellion against God. Because if we do, sooner or later, God's going to turn us over to that very spirit. Now I'm going to close with one more scripture here. Romans 14, 14 through 8. It's the New American Standard. Romans 14, 14 through 8. Paul says, I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. We're talking about food here. No food is unclean in and of itself. But to him who thinks anything is unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of your food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for your a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Okay? For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God. Now, whenever you hear people say that since we have been made acceptable to God by imputed righteousness, and that means we don't have to try to be acceptable to God anymore because we can't possibly improve on the righteousness of Christ, you better realize you're listening to a false teacher, somebody who's been seduced by religious demons. And they're as far from God and the truth as you can get. Paul said there's an acceptable way to serve God, which means an unacceptable way to serve him. Our walk before God can be totally unacceptable to him, even though legally and positionally we've been accepted because of imputed righteousness. See, in the question of whether or not our walk is acceptable to God, in this instance, has nothing to do with whether or not we're basing our justification on faith or works. The issue in this passage is not what we believe, it's what we're doing. What are we doing? Are we being considerate towards a brother's weak conscience regarding food? If we are, then our walk, our life, is acceptable to God. If we aren't, then our walk, our life, is not acceptable to him. And nothing can change that. Nothing. You can believe all you like. It doesn't matter. Your life, your walk, will be unacceptable to God if you don't do what he says. Now, when you tell people that their attempts to please God are really just attempts to justify themselves, what you do is you destroy the desire God gives each of us to find out what's pleasing to him. And that is a very harmful thing, see, because resurrection life, spiritual life, eternal life, comes through death. A closer relationship with the Lord comes through death. Power over sin comes through death. As we deny our life, our desires, our goals, our will, the life of Christ comes forth in us. See? Therefore, we should be looking for ways to deny ourselves every day. We should be actively seeking ways to die to self. We should be asking God to show us what we can give up next, what we can lay down next, what we can turn away from next, in order to get closer to Him. See? God should always be showing us things we can do. Things we can do to have a closer relationship with Him and receive more of His spiritual life. You see, the people who grow in Christ the fastest and who walk in victory over sin the most are the ones who are constantly asking God to show them how they can die to self so His life can come forth in them. The strongest believers are the ones who are constantly saying, "What can I give up next, Lord, that I might draw closer to You? What else can I lay down, Lord, or walk away from, Lord, so more of Your life can come forth in me?" That whole frame of mind is destroyed by the garbage Lumbly and all those free grace people preach, because they view that kind of thing as religious self-effort. They view that kind of thing as self-righteousness, as an attempt to establish your own righteousness, as legalism, and as trying to be justified by your own work. I'm sorry, my friends, but dying daily is not something you can do passively. You can't passively believe to die daily. It's something we must actively do. Yes, it must be done through the Spirit, but we must still do it, okay? So if you want to walk in spiritual life and be blessed by God, then find out what pleases Him. Find out how you can put more and more of your self life to death, because life comes from death. Not from reading the Bible, not from going to church, not from listening to pastors. Life comes out of death. Ask the Lord to show you how to die daily. That's how you get more of His life. On the other hand, if you want to walk in rebellion and be cursed, if you want to walk in disobedience and be turned over to Antichrist by God Himself, then just believe you're pleasing to God because of your belief. And don't worry about trying to do anything to please Him. Just believe salvation and all it entails comes simply by believing. Just keep believing that James didn't really mean it when he said, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Amen? Amen. Okay. That's it for tonight. Anybody have anything to add or share? Don't be shy. Step up. Irma, go ahead, Sister Irma. You got the mic.
Okay. I didn't have anything prepared, but when I was listening to this very wonderful, profound message, I just have a question for you. I heard someone testify last week that they believe in a conclusive salvation. They're part of this group. And of course, then I turned it away. It just sounded satanic to me. I wonder if that's what he's fallen into. This wrong teaching, it is just so unbelievable. I mean, it is rebellion to God's word. What is he thinking about conviction, obeying God, Paul's teaching about how we have to be obedient and strive for the prize of the right of the high calling? And I was just shocked at this tonight. And another thing, I just wanted to try this mic. I got to conquer this. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. That's right. That's what he's teaching. Now, if you ask him, what he'll say is, if you believe, all these things will happen. You don't have to do them. They will be done for you by Christ. Christ in you will cause you to do all these things. Everything the Bible talks about obeying, do this, do that, fight, wrestle, stand, everything that, as long as you believe, that will automatically happen. That will automatically come by the power of God. You don't have to do it. You don't have to try and do it yourself. Just wait. As you believe, it will slowly come forth, and your only job is to believe. That's his answer. That's how they see that. All right? Go ahead, Rich. You got the mic, brother.
Amen. How's everybody doing tonight, okay? The Lord was showing me something while you were speaking, and I think it goes along with the word here. And it's in James 2, where you've been talking from, verse 21 and 22. And it says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son on the altar? And could not that even just say, was he not justified by his actions to place his son on the altar? And how we need to place our Isaacs on the altar. It takes our will and our faith to do this thing. We do it with the help of the Father. And verse 22, I think, is really important too. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, his faith was made perfect. So faith with works is perfect. And I'd never seen that before. I looked at that and I go, wow, this is awesome that the Lord revealed that to me, because it answers every question to the Lumbleys of the world. Faith with works makes faith perfect. So we press into this high calling thing with, and press in by our own works to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow the Lord. Anyhow, I don't want to go on too long. That's just something, hopefully, that I didn't twist it too much. So, Lord bless you all. Have a good week.
Amen, Rich. No, you didn't twist it at all. That's exactly right. Works perfect faith. Works perfect faith. That's what the Bible says. That's true. What you said is exactly right. Hang on a second. Looks like the mama wants to say something. Hang on.
Hi, everyone. That was great, Rich. Praise the Lord. That was great. You know, the scripture was on my mind when Danny was talking was, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's a present tense, cleanses us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have real fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. But if we don't walk in the light, that's not true. When we, like I said last week, when we come to the Lord for salvation, he forgives all our past sins, and he opens a door for us to walk in the light and walk in the steps of Jesus into God. And then the blood continues to cleanse us from all sin as we walk in that light. And I thought of how Jesus washed the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. And he said, do you know what this means? Well, he told them what it meant, that they were to wash one another's feet. But it also means this, that our walk needs cleansed. When Peter said, I don't want you to wash my feet. And he said, well, if you don't let me, you have nothing in me. He said, then wash my head and my hands also. He said, no, your head and your hands don't need washed. Your part that believes doesn't need washed, but your walk does. Your walk needs washed, and you're to wash one another's feet. You're to wash one another's walk so that we can walk in the light, and so that the blood can continue to cleanse us and take us on to the high calling. That's about it. Thank you. Shalom.
Amen. Amen. Okay, I think that's right, Ma. Exactly. I think Joey's going to have something to share tonight also, so we'll see if he has something.
Okay, hello. Hello, everyone. Wow, what a heavy message. Appreciate being here again with you guys. Sorry about the silence once again. Been quiet a while since the last time I got to greet everyone over the mic. So I wanted to say hello to everyone here and whoever else. So Rich and Judy, hello. Irma, Jenna Ray, Kim, Standfast, Joshua Henry, K-Man, Sissy, and Bill, and Lisa. Hello to everyone, and also Brian and Jamie and the family out there in the Midwest. Greetings, and God bless you all. Anyway, it's been quite a battle and struggle for me personally, The Lord has been using the fellowship here to humble me and help me see my very own spiritual condition. I do thank the Lord very much for Dan and Mama Annabelle. I praise God for their lives, for their help and their godly counsel. Amen. And you know, in the midst of pondering about the price that entails the type of walk, the high calling that we've been all talking about in this room, strange as it may have sounded to me when I thought about it, but I said to myself, you know, I think the most abhorred or loathed thing among Christians today is the actual walk of true Christianity, because it comes with such a high price of soul-wrenching experiences of losing and laying down our own wills and agendas in order to embrace and carry out the Lord's perfect will. And so that's a very high price, you know. As a prime guilty example of such struggle with God's dealings in my own life, I've been realizing how actually shamefully rebellious my very own soul and self-life is against the things of God. You know, I was asked, who will save and deliver such a wretched, hopeless soul? There is no hope. There is no hope for such a worm like me unless you have mercy on me, O Lord. I had to admit to the Lord by desperately saying, Lord, my soul has been so much at war against your will. Please forgive me and help me. I cannot continue. I cannot continue to live like this. Rebellion is sin, and I know that God forbids that I sin any longer. So personally, it's been my cry to the Lord, please, I do not want to sin any longer. You called me not to sin any longer because I've been baptized in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and have been united with Him in His resurrection to walk in His newness of life. And of course, we all know we're not talking about the sin of smoking or fornication or cussing or hatred and anger, etc. No, the struggle of sin, I guess, I'm trying to point out in my own life are the agendas and the ideas that the Christian soul comes up with apart from the Spirit of God and call it the will of God. So realizing these things, it's been a battle, you know, fighting the enemy in my own life. It's been a struggle, wrestling with the desires of the Adamic life, and it sure is not an easy fight at all. But in the midst of all this, I want to thank the Lord. I really want to thank God and praise Him for who He is and for all His help. He's been so gracious and He's been so faithful. I just want to thank Him for all things. And also, having come from a tropical climate in the middle of the Pacific, I want to thank Him also for everything, including the coming cold weather up here in PA, and give Him all the glory for all things tonight. I thank the Lord for all of you as well, brethren, and God bless, and have a good night. Here's Dan.
Amen. God bless you, Joey. Amen. That is a good testimony. All right. Good. Thanks, Joey. Anybody else have anything to share? Lisa. Looks like Lisa's got something to share. Go ahead, Lisa. You got the mic.
Praise God, everybody. I hope you can hear me, because it's been a while and I always forget how to use my mic. Can you hear me? Okay. I'm going to try to read a scripture that the Lord put on my heart when Brother Dan was speaking. And it's in Ephesians, and it starts with chapter 4, and then it goes chapter 4, verse 20. And so as I read, I'm just going to interject some of the things that I was feeling when I was reminded about this series of scriptures. And it starts with, But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And right there in that little portion, we can see that we have a job, or we have a work to do, that God teaches us, and the Holy Spirit will come to us, and he will nudge us, and he will tell us, but we must put off the old man, and we must put on the new man. It's a choice, it's a work that we have to do. And then it goes on to say, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Again, a portion of scripture that teaches us that we can be angry, but we have to choose not to sin. That we must put off lying. God will convict us, and he will show us when we're about ready to do something wrong or commit a sin, but it's our choice to do the work of God. It is our choice to please him. It is our choice to lay down our choice and our will and to turn to him and do what he is requiring of us. Let him who stole steal no longer. You know, the Lord is not going to stop me from stealing. He is going to send the Holy Spirit, who will convict me, whether it's, you know, before the act or a thought that I'm having, and then I have to decide that I'm not going to do it, and I have to cry out to him and ask him to give me the strength and the grace, and I have to put myself in a position where I won't commit that type of sin. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Another work, put off the stealing, but put on giving, you know, seek a heart of giving. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I have to put it off. I have to make a choice. If I'm feeling bitterness or wrath or anger, if I feel like saying something wicked and evil, I must stop. I have to choose righteousness. I have to choose to make my mouth be yielded as a spirit, as an instrument of righteousness, not as an instrument of unrighteousness. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. This is what Brother Dan was saying. God does have a will. There is something that pleases him. And here's another scripture. Be an imitator of God. We can look to God. We can look to the character of God. We can be led by his Spirit. We can read his word. We can know the heart and the mind of God, and we can know what pleases him, and we can choose to please him by putting off what displeases him and putting on the new creature, by putting on the character of Christ. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Well, there's something we know we shouldn't be doing. There's a work we know we shouldn't be working. It's an evil work. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornication, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Brother Lumley has empty words, and he is leading people astray. He is shipwrecking the faith of many Christians. This is a serious, serious thing that we are talking about this evening. We can know the mind and the heart of God, and we can choose to follow him. And God does expect obedience. He does expect us to obey his clear word to each one of us. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And you know, these scriptures are not being read. These are not being written for the unsaved. This is for the body of Christ. This is telling us you can do these evil works. You can be caught up in these kind of things. And if you are, and if you believe when people tell you that this is okay, you're being deceived. So it's admonishing us. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For you were once darkness, but now you are light. We must constantly be looking to the light, yielding to the light, and desiring to walking in the light. When we see darkness, we know that we are not in a place where we should be. Now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Well, there's an answer there. Brother Dan was talking about how we can know and how we can please God. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. And here is another scripture to bear witness to what Brother Dan taught. Verse 10. It's chapter 5, verse 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. The burden of that short scripture is on me. The burden of that short scripture is on me. I must seek to know him. I must find out what is acceptable to my Lord. And if I love him, and if I desire to be found in him, and if I desire to please him, then I will find out what is acceptable to him. And in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So there's works of darkness, and there's works of light. But rather expose them. There's another good work for us, exposing the works of darkness. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And then down to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, this is all talking about things that we should be doing. This is talking about works. This is talking about faith that has a visible work. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There again, bearing witness with what Brother Dan taught this evening. Verse 17. Verse 16, I'm going to read again. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil, then therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I can personalize that. It says, Lisa, do not be unwise, but take the time to understand what the will of your Lord is, so that I can obey it, so that I can follow it, so that I can please him in all my thoughts and what I do in action and word and in deed. There is a work that we are to do as brothers and sisters in Christ, and there are works of darkness that we are to have nothing to do with. God has called us, he called us, and he has justified us by faith. But we are to be sanctified, and we are to walk in holiness, and we are to walk in obedience, so that the world can see the light of the Lord in us and be drawn to him. And I just thank everybody for all of you being here tonight. Sometimes I can't make it, and it's always such a blessing. Thank you, Brother Dan, for your teaching. And I just pray that the Lord continues to draw us, and that we respond to his drawing. And it's a real blessing to come into the room and just be amongst brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you all, and God bless you.
Amen. Good word, Lisa. Very good. Right on. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? That's some good input tonight. Bless the Lord. Okay. Well, I'm glad y'all came. And thank you everybody that shared. I appreciate it. I'm sure the people in the room appreciate it. And we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.